And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. We're back for hour number two today on this Monday, May the 8th, 2017. 13 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears back with you today, joined in studio by Terry Tackett and Mrs. Ohio, Terry Lynn Grothaus. And again, you know, a little under the weather today, but forging through, making it through.
In the home stretch.
1 hour to go. We'll see if I make it for the rest of the program today. So far, so good. I don't know where it came from. It just kind of, and you're a nurse.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, you figure it might have some. You figure it's May. We're not used to these cooler temperatures like we have in May. Maybe that has something to.
Is there a lot of illness going around right now?
There's a lot of allergies. A lot of allergy sufferers right now. You know, with the pollen counts are really high, so. A lot of sore throats, runny noses.
Well, you know, it started with a sore throat the other day, and then it turned into a little bit of a cold, not a big one, and now it's just, like, in my throat, and I feel like, you know, like I've been hit by a bus.
Lots of liquids.
Lots of liquids. That's how you get rid of it.
And a teaspoon of honey.
What does honey do for you?
Honey has natural anti-inflammatory properties in it.
It helps
break up mucus as well.
Just like regular honey you buy at the...
You know, it's better to have, like, the real honey. but you can use honey from the store as well.
So what do you think is causing the body aches?
Oh, I don't know, but if you have something, maybe I should leave.
You're not that lucky. Not that lucky. Yeah. No, it's a weird thing. I'm one of those today. But okay, we're going to continue right along here. Mrs. Ohio, where do you go from here?
So this is the Mrs. Ohio International Pageant. The next step is the Mrs. International Pageant, and that is going to be held in Charleston, West Virginia, August 7th through the 12th.
And what are your hopes for that?
I am hoping to become Mrs. International. My desire is to win that crown so that I can go out and promote my platform nationally and internationally.
Now, what goes on at the next pageant?
It's very much the same as the state pageant. You compete again in interview, 5 minutes with each judge again. There's an onstage question and the 30 seconds to share your platform. There's also fitness wear and evening gown. So same kind of venue.
Have they all went to fitness wear? Bikini or whatever they used to, is that gone?
Mrs. America still uses the swimsuit, one-piece swimsuit.
Now, what is the butt glue for that we talked about in the first? I'm confused.
You're back on the butt glue.
No, you brought it up here. Now, what is the butt glue for in the fitness?
Don't have to have it in the fitness, thank goodness.
Oh,
all
goodness
of that's
gracious.
Covered.
So you were in pageants before this?
Yes.
Oh, okay,
I was
I
Mrs.
That.
Ohio America in 2013.
And that was butt glue.
Yes, that was
butt glue. Does it feel strange to be walking around in a swimsuit in front of a crowd full of people?
You know, it really does.
And aren't you like in heels or something when you're doing this?
Yeah, and you know, nobody wears heels to the pool, at least nobody I know.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit awkward to put on that swimsuit and then high heels and go out there and model. So, if you can do that, you can do anything.
Now, at what point, because this is all age, really, at what point do you opt out of that?
Of the
Miss Ohio, Miss Teen Ohio?
So you can enter the Mrs. Pageant when you're 21 years of age and 6 months married. So you could potentially be a 21-year-old woman. So that's the interesting thing here is that, you know, I have grown children. So I'm 45 years old, and I am competing against women in their 20s who
have
never had children.
Hard? Is that hard?
It is hard, you know. I try to keep myself in good shape, but let's face it, I've had 4 kids biologically. I have stretch marks and I have some sagging skin in places. And you know what? I'm proud of it. Those are the scars that I wear proudly. They are my journey through motherhood, my journey through age, actually. But yes, it does make it a little more challenging. My workouts are more challenging because I am older. So it is hard competing against someone who is still young and perky and has never had children.
Now, do you ever feel anger toward these people? Because they are your competition.
Not. They are my competition, but I never feel angry, you know, with them at all. I think we're each on our own journey. So whatever that looks like for that person.
Nobody's ever cranky backstage or just kind of nasty.
I will say, you know, when I competed in Mrs. Ohio International a week ago, I competed against five other women. So there were six misses together, and each one of them were absolutely lovely and endearing. There was no animosity backstage. We all helped each other out. We all became friends. We still stay in touch. It's the same thing with the Mrs. Ohio America system. When I was a part of that, a lot of those women are my lifelong friends.
What do you think the bond comes from?
I think, like I said, we're all on our own journey here. And so it's that understanding that we're really competing together and not against each other.
What is the journey?
Oh, for me, it has been definitely one of confidence. I expressed to you that I used to have some low self-esteem, some body image, definitely some social anxiety. So when I entered the pageant for the first time, I did it just on a whim. I just thought, heck, what, you know, I'll just do it. And this is great. But then after that weekend, something just snapped in me. I was like, you know, this is great. I felt so confident. And through this process, that has continued to grow. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I'd be sitting here having this radio interview, I would have told you you're crazy. I would have never done something like this. I just wasn't comfortable talking in front of people, sharing my story, sharing who I am. None of that.
What changed?
Honestly, it was my involvement in pageantry. You know, it forces you out of your comfort zone. It forces you into situations where you're meeting strangers. You know, I didn't know you guys prior to today. To some people, that's very uncomfortable to go and talk to somebody that they don't know. So it forces you into those situations, and I just grew.
Mm. Now, when you're talking, because 25 years of marriage, tremendous accomplishment, what makes it work?
You know, most people would say that communication is the key to a successful marriage, and that is very, very important. However, I think that forgiveness is probably the biggest key to a successful marriage. You literally have to forgive your spouse every day of all those little grievances that just chip away at the relationship. Like, you know, when he forgets to put a bag back in the trash can, or he leaves the cupboard doors open, all the things that just drive you crazy on a daily basis, you have to make up your mind to forgive him. And the next morning, it is a clean slate. You start all over again. And I really think that has helped us.
Now, is it easy to forgive big stuff?
I can say that there hasn't been a lot of big stuff. And so that's great with us. But I think it's probably a little bit harder, yeah, to forgive that, especially if there's been trust that's been broken. You know, trust is hard to build back up.
Now, I always wonder, if you're the person who causes the problem, does that stick with you? Is he as forgiving as you?
Oh, absolutely. He's probably more forgiving than I am, honestly. I have a little bit harder problem. I think it's just part of my womanhood. We like to hold grudges sometimes. So he's like a microwave and I'm like a crock pot. You know, he's like, ding, he's done. Me, I have to simmer for a little bit.
What is the biggest obstacle you faced in 25 years?
The biggest? Probably financial issues, having four kids all together at one time. I mean, our boys are little stair steps. Our first two were 17 and a half months apart. All the other ones were 21 and 22 months. So for a while, we had all these little people under one roof and we're both trying to work. And it's just, you just never felt like there was enough money to do everything that you wanted to do. So, you know, you had to curb your spending and really budget. And so some of those years were really tight and were very challenging.
Money seems to be a big, big problem with people separating.
The root of all evil.
Why? Why is it money? It's always money. It's not other people. It's not people getting involved in the relationship. It always starts with money.
You have to discuss how you're going to spend your money and what you're going to do with your money, and hopefully you're on the same page before you get married, because a lot of times I don't think it's something that is discussed in a relationship, and then all of a sudden you get married and you have two people who come from very different financial backgrounds. Maybe they're both bringing bills into the marriage. They have different ideas of how they want to spend it, and before you know it, it's just a full-blown argument.
It really can cause major, major issues. But isn't the idea that if you would live with that person, like in a cardboard box, that's really the person you should be with?
Really, that's what they say, but I don't want to live in a cardboard box.
So this could be a game changer for you, the whole cardboard box idea. Do you think there's equality today between men and women?
Oh, boy. You know, it's never been something that, I guess I'm one of those women that have never put a lot of emphasis on that. It's not something that is really important to me or that I've spent a lot of time researching. You know, if you're talking about pay, you know, there's all these statistics that say that men make more money than women do, and it's so unfair. And I just have not been in that situation. Having worked in a nursing profession, my male counterpart nurses have made the same thing that I've made based on years of experience. So I haven't experienced that personally.
When did you know you wanted to be a nurse?
Oh, early on. I was like a senior in high school when I decided that I wanted to be a nurse. My original goal was to be a pediatrician, which ironically, I ended up being a pediatric nurse practitioner, about as close as I can get to that profession. When I found out how many years I had to go to medical school, I quickly changed my mind. Decided I would just go into nursing instead. Have loved my nursing profession, have been in pediatrics the majority of my 25 years of nursing, and just went back and got my pediatric nurse practitioner and graduated in 2015. So I went back to school full-time, worked full-time, and had my kids.
are there any regrets in there?
There's absolutely no regrets, but it is challenging to go to school, work, try to maintain a family, and then try to maintain a college education as well.
What do you think is different now between a family and a marriage and a lifestyle and the same thing 40 years ago?
I think more and more women are working outside the home now. I think there was a lot more homemakers back then who stayed home, took care of the home, took care of the children. And while we still see women who are in that role today, we see more and more women that are working outside the home in their own careers.
What do you think, Terry? Do you think it's hard for women nowadays, harder than men?
Yeah, I think in a lot of different capacities, it's a lot tougher than... They have it a lot tougher.
What do you think it's more difficult? Why? Why more difficult for women?
Well, obviously, the number one thing she touched on was the pay. I mean, I don't think there's ever really going to probably be an equality in pay. I mean, you know, unfortunately, but...
Do you think we'll ever see a woman president?
I hope so. I think women have a lot to offer, and we probably have a unique perspective that could benefit this country.
Why do you think women... There hasn't been one. I mean, 45 presidents, and we've never had a one woman president.
I don't know if it's lack of interest in the presidency up to this point from a woman, or if it's just truly because it's more of a male-dominated arena.
It's interesting because we've had one woman get the nomination of one of the major parties, and boy, did they just vilify her, left, right, and sideways. She was not a very... by the time that election was over, you wouldn't want to spend time with her.
Yeah, and politics is not something that... that I enjoy talking about. It's just, there's so many different opinions and it's so argumentative, you know?
Well, I don't think this is political to the extent that we just pay attention to silly things with mm-hmm. women, how they're dressed, what does their hair look like? What is their makeup like? We don't care what the men look like. If their suit looks funny, we don't care. But if it's a woman and her hair, I mean, Hillary Clinton's hair was part of that election.
Yep.
Why is that with women?
There is a image projected by the media that we're supposed to meet it. And I think every woman is held to that standard, whether they're running for the presidency or not.
It's a very odd thing, I think, and I think it was very projected in politics, but I think it's projected other places as well.
Absolutely.
I think if, like, I noticed that women who stay in the workforce, a lot of times they're not allowed to go gray if they're in high positions. But you can have men who are bald and gray and everything else, and nobody pays attention.
I guess I didn't know about the no gray thing. I better keep coloring.
I mean, it's a weird thing. If you go in and look at women in a high position, they hardly ever have gray hair. That's just one of the things I've paid attention to.
I'll have to pay more attention to that.
You have to pay, if you can think of one powerful woman who has gray hair.
Huh.
And they're past the age where they probably do have... I'm sure Hillary Clinton's hair is gray, but you would never see her like that. You know, it's. I'm sure a lot of people's hair has been gray like that, but you don't see it like that. Although television news women, I'm sure they're all gray-haired women, but nope, it's all colored.
well, to me, that's just a challenge to break the mold then.
So you would go all natural?
Oh, I would go all natural, yeah.
Really?
Yes, I color now. I mean, I do. I'm 45. I have gray hair. It's not completely gray, but when it comes to the point where I have more gray than I have my regular color hair, yes, I will absolutely have long gray hair.
Now, why is that important to you?
You know, because you get tired of coloring it, really. You do. You really get tired of it. And so, you know, you have to accept the fact that you are moving into a different time of your life. And I am okay with that. I'm going to age gracefully.
Do you have to accept that on all levels? Do you have to accept that in dress, in hair, in wrinkles, in the whole bit?
You do have to accept it. There are things you can do about it to age gracefully, for sure. I mean, just because you're a certain age doesn't mean you have to, you know, dress in big frumpy clothes. You don't have to do that. There's no hard and fast rule. I think you can still be 80 years old and be sharply dressed. You don't have to wear plaids.
No, but as an 80-year-old, what is sharply dressed in your eyes?
Oh, I think it differs for everybody, really, depending on your own style. For me, I like to be a little bit trendy, but also classically dressed. I just like to look put together. Because you know,
I see some of these women, and men both, who I think they're 20 when they're 80.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
That's not a good move, because I'm not saying you should let society judge you, but I don't think it's doing you any favors anywhere.
I think modesty is best, and I do know what you're talking about. I have seen some older people in shorty cutoff shorts and those kind of things, and I don't think that's appropriate.
That's a good word. What happened to modesty? For not just in older people, what happened to modesty in general? Summer's coming, and you will see things out on the street that, holy moly, you would only see certain beaches.
I think our society's become very sexualized, honestly. I mean, it's projected again in the media, you know, commercials are sexualized. You know, they're aimed at selling products, but they sell products based on a curvaceous woman that's barely dressed.
Why though? Why?
But
people have to buy it. Mm-hmm. Why do people buy that? If they weren't buying it, they wouldn't be doing it.
Exactly. I think, you know, our society is attracted to that. I don't know why.
it's a very peculiar idea. Where do you think we're going to be? Because certainly I think if somebody would have said 30 years ago to a Mrs. Ohio, where would you be in 30 years? I don't think they would say internet and texting and cell phones. Where do you think this is all going to go in 30 years from now when you are close to 80?
Wow. I don't know. Hopefully I can keep up with all the technology. I think there's going to be new and better cell phones. And I've heard things about placing chips in people's skin so that you can just scan it. And that's linked to your bank account and your credit cards. And I don't know. I think there's going to be more and more things that are coming out like that. The sad thing is, I think that we're going to have less and less personal interaction. I think there's going to be less jobs out there for bank tellers and postal workers because we can do everything online or with a text.
If anybody does have a question for Mrs. Ohio, we will have her here for about 29 more minutes. If you'd like to call in, the telephone number is 740-383-9944 or go to the Facebook page. Leave a message there, WWGH Radio, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, or send me an email, scott@wwgh1071.com. Again, the telephone number, 740-383-9944. The guest is Mrs. Ohio, Terry Lynn Grothaus. The relationship with your husband is very interesting. Last hour, we left off talking about he was the first person who loved you unconditionally, and we never really finished that. What is unconditional? You love through all.
Yes, absolutely.
And at what moment did you know that he was the one?
I think when he stuck around after, you know, I was 17, those ages between 17 and 20 where I was really had that low self-esteem was very early part of our marriage too. You know, we got married, he was very social. So he was involved in a lot of sports. He was out with his friends a lot. I, on the other hand, was not social. I was very backwards. So I was very clingy, you know, always wanted him to stay home with me, wanted him to be with me, would cry a lot, you know, just wanted him to be there, didn't want to be alone. I had that fear of being alone. So I think loving me through that and helping me through that showed me, I mean, because a lot of men would have just been annoyed by that and left. He really showed me how much he cared about me. He saw the potential.
Where did you meet him?
I actually met him. I worked at a small little restaurant called Top Chalet in Delphus. I was a waitress there, and he used to come in all the time, and we would make googly eyes at each other. Mm-hmm. And so one night at a Halloween party, he asked me to dance, and we've been together ever since. Started dating, got engaged a year and a half later.
So was it that love at first sight thing?
I had a terrible crush on him. Yeah. So for me, it was.
Now, what do you think led to that?
The love at first sight.
Is it just looks? Is it because you really didn't know him at that point?
No, I had no idea who he was. It was definitely the looks. There was a physical attraction there for sure. And then after I got to know him, just his kindness. He is one of the kindest people that I will ever meet.
And here we are. Did you ever think 25 years later it would all be working out so well and everything would be flowing?
No. And I tell you what, I owe his parents a huge amount of gratitude because they raised an amazing man. They have been wonderful role models for me. They truly have servants' hearts. They're Christians as well. So, you know, they raised just such a great guy. And they're a huge part of why our marriage has been so successful.
So this Christianity is very important.
Yes.
If that weren't there, where do you think you'd be?
You know, I don't know that I would be any place different, but I do definitely try to keep God at the center of everything. In my life, it's God first, family second, career third. So, you know, he is first and foremost, the most important.
Now, when you say in front of family, how do you mean?
I mean that my relationship with Christ comes before my family. So Christ is a part of my marriage, a part of my relationship with my children. It's always keeping him centralized.
We have a question here from email. This is from Barbara F. here in Marion. What prepared you most for this contest?
For this Mrs. Ohio International Contest? Well, as I said, I had competed before in a pageant. Probably what prepared me the most is interview coaching, Barbara. I had a wonderful coach, Rhonda Schappert. She is in the Columbus area, and she works on personal development and interview coaching, and she is money well spent. She's a good personal friend, and she really helped me learn how to communicate very strongly.
We have a question from, let's see here. This is Rick. You talked about taking selfies earlier on. Do you take a lot of selfies?
I wouldn't say I take a lot. I take occasional selfies. I'm not a very good selfie taker. You will never see me walking around with a selfie stick either. And I do not like duck faces. That is a lot of what girls do nowadays. You know the duck face. Do you make the duck face?
No. What is that? That's what the duck face is?
Yes, the pouty lip thing. Oh. All the girls do that with their selfies. I guess they think it makes them look good, but I don't like it.
You don't like the duck face?
I don't do the duck face, no.
What does it do? Does it shrink your cheeks or something?
I think it's supposed to make your lips look pouty.
If you are trying to look pouty and you're making duck faces in your selfie, aren't you opening yourself up for trouble? Posting that on social media?
You know, but you look at stars like Kim Kardashian, and that's what they do in their pictures. They give you the pouty face.
So it's really like a kissy face.
Yes, kind of like a kissy face.
But it became a duck face.
That's what people call it, yeah.
As I live and breathe. Let's take a phone call here. Hey, you're on the air with Miss Ohio. Mrs. Ohio, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just curious, how do your kids feel about your being Miss Ohio?
Oh, so my kids, like I said earlier, my boys are mostly grown now. They've been very supportive all along. They've attended all of my pageants. They were in attendance this past weekend when I won. And my daughter is actually 11. She is thrilled to be a part of this, and she loves to go and make appearances with me. So they are definitely on board.
Okay, you know, sometimes the family there thinks, oh, you know, here's mother up there being foolish or something. But I'm glad to hear that they do approve and, support you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Sure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And again, the telephone number, 740-383-9944. If you have a question, and you just did something quite amazing there. You put on a headset with a crown on.
I guess I did.
That was pretty good. Yeah. How do you, it's a beautiful crown for
Thank
people
you.
Who can't see it because this is on radio. How do you get that to stick to your head?
Lots of bobby pins.
Is that what it is? It's bobby pin
yes,
to your head?
Yes, so there's no combs on it at all. It's just round, and my head is not. So it doesn't sit really well. So, yeah, lots of pins are holding it into my head.
As you prepare for the next big competition, do you worry about anything? What's your fear?
I don't know that I really have a fear. My goal is, obviously, I want to be Mrs. International, but my biggest goal is just to promote my best self, and I really want to get word out there about Refuge International and the work we do in Guatemala.
Why is that? Because I know people will say, what about the kids here? What about the kids here?
Absolutely. I am so blessed to work in a profession where I am able to affect the health of children on a daily basis in my community and my state. So, you know, every child that I come in contact with is so important to me. If I see that they are lacking in something, I'm able to get them to the resources that they need. However, I can't forget about those children who don't have the same opportunities in other countries like Guatemala.
It's a terribly sad thing when you think about it. I mean, I was just reading an article on Africa the other day. Horrible, horrible conditions mm-hmm. people are living under.
Yes.
And can you ever help everybody?
You can't help everybody, but I think we all have a responsibility to do what we can, to do our own part. And so this is just part of what I can do to make a difference in the world.
And where do you see yourself when this pageantry is over? Where do you see yourself after this?
Oh, I will definitely be continuing to my work with Refuge International. I like to go twice a year to Guatemala for medical mission trips, so I will continue that. I'm going to continue to work with the schools and churches in my local community to collect and donate vitamins.
What did the pageants give you? What was the greatest gift, and what is the biggest drawback?
Okay. So there's not a lot of monetary prizes. Probably the biggest thing that pageantry in itself has given me is just a level of confidence and the ability to get out into my community and, you know, really have more of a presence, promote my platform. One of the greatest gifts that I received this past weekend as Mrs. Ohio International was just the relationship with my director, Jerry Walzik. She is amazing director of the international pageants and just goes above and beyond for her queens. So that relationship with her is just priceless.
Obviously your social life is with your husband, but like music and TV shows, what's life like?
I am a huge music buff, so I love all kinds of music, but 80s music is my favorite, and I miss my man Prince.
Oh yes, Prince is gone. Prince died.
No, I love
Prince. Purple Rain.
Yes.
I had posters of Prince all over my room when I was young.
What was it about Prince? A lot of people liked him.
Yeah, I don't know. His music was just awesome. It just really spoke to me at a time where I was growing and maturing. You know, and there was just a level of, I don't know, just kind of sexy about him.
And he was like 4 foot tall.
Yeah,
he was like a little 4 foot
know,
tall
right?
guy.
Who would have guessed it?
Who dressed all in purple.
Yeah.
Now, if you would have had to have, if you want to relieve some stress, what are you going to listen to? What's going to be the song list?
I would definitely listen to my Christian music, contemporary Christian. I love groups like Casting Crowns. They're probably my favorite, Mercy Me. So those are things that really relax me and center me.
Now, what do you consider 80s music?
Oh, gosh. So I love Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses. I know, right? That's not your typical pageant.
That's a little different than contemporary Christian.
I can relate. I'm the same age. I can relate.
Yeah. You can relate all that. Yeah.
I love all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Prince, Duran Duran.
Oh, Duran Duran. Are they still around?
They are still around.
They are? Yeah. What are they doing?
One of my favorites is coming to the casino in July.
Who's that?
Eddie Money.
Eddie Money? And this is all 80s music.
Yes.
What was different about 80s music?
Oh, you know, it was just so upbeat. And there's so many vulgar lyrics in today's music, I feel like. Not necessarily in country music. I think there's still a lot of good country music.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. We did a story last week. This is funny. That there was just a study done. I believe it's by the University of Virginia. That people think rap music talks most about drugs. But it's not rap music. It's country music.
Really?
Yeah. When you survey the songs, country music talks more about drugs than rap music.
I would not have
you
guessed that.
You would not have guessed that.
No.
Neither would I.
I do hear country music talk, you know, more about alcohol, like drinking is a lot of the themes in country music. But I guess drugs I never thought about.
Well, I think it's because they're depressed. The people, no, the country music people, don't you think they're some, to some degree depressed?
Yeah.
Because they sing about trains and trucks and...
No, it's because they're always losing
mamas.
Somebody. They're losing their...
I mean, their every, dog or...
Well, that's the cliche that they're losing their dog. But they're always, it's always about some breakup with somebody or... I'm up all night and thinking about somebody.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
Yeah.
I mean, don't they ever have a relationship that turns out well?
That's good.
Where they can just say, yes, this is a good relationship. Good rap music seems to be more about the pursuit of somebody.
Yes.
Country music's more about the end. like Taylor Swift. What do you make of Taylor Swift?
Oh, I don't really.
You don't?
I mean, she's okay. I like a few of her songs. She just... not for me. I don't consider her country music. She's more pop.
I think she's fascinating because she's taken a brilliant idea of these boys she's dated and put them in songs, but won't tell you who.
Yeah.
That's
she
brilliant.
She leaves you guessing.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
What was the song years ago that we still don't know who it was about? Vain.
Oh,
vain.
Yeah.
You're so vain.
Oh. Yeah.
And that's allegedly supposed to be about somebody,
right.
But we don't know who it's about. So it's kept them guessing for all these years. So you like country music?
I do.
Like, what's a big popular country song right now?
Oh, I don't know. I just listened to Country Music Channel this morning, but I don't know what the number one song is right now.
For you, what's the popular song for you?
Oh, I love anything from Carrie Underwood, so. but I can't think of anything that she knew. She has a duet out right now with Keith Urban. I'm not real crazy about it, but.
Isn't he married to somebody?
He is. He's married to Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Who was married to
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise.
Ooh, it's a whole little string.
It is.
And Keith Urban is Australian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can't think of my favorite right now.
Well, last year, you know, of course, in Mary, we had Kelly Pickler, so she's still kind of on the scene a little bit.
See, people talked about her. I had no idea who she was.
Yeah. I think she was an American Idol.
She was.
Was she?
Yeah.
When Carrie Underwood.
As with Carrie Underwood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Carrie Underwood did the Jesus Take the Wheel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that song.
But didn't she also do some songs after that were a little, like 180 degrees?
Yeah.
That showbiz for you. That showbiz. Do you think, which genre of music, being a music producer, is closest to something you'd let your kids listen to?
Probably country. For sure. Although you said it does have a high amount of drugs in it, which I wasn't aware of.
Well, no, that's the University of Virginia.
Okay.
That's not me. That's University of Virginia.
I've never caught it. But there is a lot of crossover, too, between country and spirituality. You know, a lot of the country singers do sing about their faith as well. Carrie Underwood's a prime example of that.
Who else would be singing about their faith? I'm trying to think. Dolly Parton?
Yeah, probably.
She's kind of faith-based.
Yeah.
Grew up
Garth
poor.
Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
I think actually maybe Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire?
Yes. Reba McEntire just released a Christian album.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. All these people are getting up in years now. Who are the big people in country music right now?
Oh, the only one that comes to my mind, I hear him all the time, is Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Luke Bryan. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've kind of turned it a little vulgar, haven't they?
I don't think that they're...
I think Kenny Chesney's
still up there.
Definitely
country, but they're not, you know, the old country, like our old country stars like George Jones and Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, they don't sing about taking a tractor.
No.
To the
right.
Isn't that what George Jones sang about taking a tractor down somewhere?
And
all these people just gone. What can you do? Milton, or what? Not Milton. What's his name? The Merle.
Merle Haggard.
He just passed away recently.
Yep. Yeah.
They're all dying.
Yeah, that was good country.
all you've got left is Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of the queen of that genre right now. Do you think rap is bad? There's so much
about
it.
I don't care for it. I think it has a lot of vulgar lyrics. And even some gang related, you know, some of it is gang related too. So, and then, you know, if you look at rap, there have been a lot of rap related deaths in the media, you know, years past, just gang violence.
That is true. A lot of people have been shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder why that is. What do you think, Terry?
I don't know. I mean, that's... I don't know if it's just the cities they live in, you know, or it's just animosity. You know, I don't know.
I'm sure there was some animosity there before they did them in. When we look at the grand scheme of things now, do you like Ohio?
I do like Ohio. You know, it's the heart of it all, pretty much.
what is it about Ohio? I mean, your title has Ohio in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't love the weather here. I will just be honest with about that. You know, I lived in Florida for 6 years when I was younger, so I kind of got spoiled by the beaches and the warm weather. So I do miss that. But, you know, I'll never leave Ohio, this home, for the rest of my life. I do believe the people here are pretty laid back, pretty friendly. I think we're welcoming, and you're not always going to see that in other places.
What is the weather the biggest drawback for Ohio?
Oh, absolutely. For me, it is.
But there is so much to do in Ohio. The theme parks, the presidents, mm-hmm. the history, the whole bit. It's so much to do here. And you get four seasons.
Yes. And, you know, even like Columbus, there's so much to do in Columbus. I'm from back around small little town of 2,000 people, Columbus Grove, Ohio. So kind of, you know, outside of Lima, about 20 minutes from Lima. And coming to Columbus is kind of like a vacation. You know, there's so much to do there. Even the malls and places to eat and the conservatory, and there's just a lot of options for things to do.
If you and your husband have a night out, what do you do?
We usually just go out to eat, maybe somewhere like Bandito's or La Charita, which is a little Mexican restaurant in Lima. One of my favorite date nights, though, is something really quite simple. We have to do it when the weather's warmer, but we pick up some takeout. He drives me to a friend's pond that's kind of secluded. We just have a little picnic, and we throw our poles in the water.
Fishing.
Do a little fishing. Yeah. Who knew I was so well-rounded, right? Yeah.
Now, is he Mr. Ohio?
He is Mr. Ohio.
Because
and, you know,
your missus.
Yes. You know, and back to that fishing thing, he always baits my hook and takes my fish off because I won't do it.
You won't do it. So you're just
I just throw the pole.
You're the caster. She was
the
caster.
Yeah, I cast it. I sit there and wait for the fish.
That's right.
You know, I never could get into fishing.
Really?
Never could.
Yeah.
No. I don't know what it is.
It's very peaceful.
It is.
I don't know. I just sit there and keep thinking, why am I watching this bobber go up and down and up and down? Just because I'm not going to eat the fish.
No, we always throw them back.
Yeah. If you throw the fish back, they die anyway. Have you heard this?
No.
Yes.
I watch them swim away.
No. If you touch the fish, they die.
No, mm. I don't think so.
I've never heard that.
No.
I just told you that's a fact. No, because it's something about the slime on the fish. That you've damaged them by putting the hook in their mouth, and then you rub the slime off when you touch them. And when you throw them back, they just die anyway.
I've seen them swim away.
Well, I don't think they die immediately. Okay. It's like within the next hour or so.
Well, that's sad.
Oh, I'm sorry to bring it up. No, but that's true. Wow. That's a little helpful hint to everybody
else.
I did not
know that.
Yeah, because you can't hold them for long.
So what if you hold them with gloves?
Well, I think it's something to do with the slime.
Okay.
Because the slime on them is very important. So like people who put their foot on them and then try to pull the hook out, and a lot of times you can't get the hook out just right. It's tough.
Huh. Well, you learned something new.
Absolutely. I didn't
realize that till recently, but apparently that's what goes on when you go fishing.
Yeah.
Your hobbies are what?
Oh, boy. I don't have time for hobbies.
You have no hobbies.
Really, probably my biggest hobby is looking at Pinterest. I love Pinterest. I'm always looking up new recipes because I love to cook.
Oh, you're a cooker.
Yes. So, you know,
that's a lost art.
Maybe cooking could be a hobby, but I don't really do it for a hobby. I do it to feed my family. But I love trying new recipes. I don't bake a lot. I just like trying new recipes, like for dinner. So I spend a lot of time on Pinterest. I also like to look at Pinterest for ideas on decorating. So we've done a lot of home remodeling lately. We completely redid a bathroom. We redid our bedroom. We've redone the hallway floor. So I've gotten a lot of ideas off of Pinterest for that.
Now, if you had to cook something for dinner tonight, what would it be?
My husband's favorite dish recently has been this chicken bacon ranch casserole that I've made. It actually has pasta in it, so that's probably what I would make because he loves that with a Caesar salad.
Now, what is your favorite food? You have to stay away from certain things, though, don't you?
I don't stay away from anything. I'm probably your atypical pageant girl. If I feel like eating something, I eat it. So I eat pizza. That doesn't mean I have a great metabolism that just burns everything off. I just have to work hard at it. But I believe everything in moderation. So if you want that chocolate, you eat that chocolate.
So what is your guilty pleasure?
Pizza and a glass of wine.
Glass of wine.
Yeah.
Wine's good for you, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Keeps the heart moving, I think. Something
yes, they
like
say
that.
You can have a glass of red wine every day, and that's actually healthy.
Do you ever feel the burden of being Miss Ohio?
I think it's an honor and a blessing to be Mrs. Ohio, not necessarily a burden. But if I had to choose one downfall, it would be probably that, you know, having to feel like you have to look the part all the time. You know, it makes it a little bit harder to take off and go to the grocery with your hair in a messy bun and no makeup. But I do it.
You do it. Well, because they don't know, do they?
No. I mean, a lot of people in my community know. So there's always that thought in the back of your mind that, you know, they're looking at you thinking, oh my goodness, she's Mrs. Ohio? Like, look at her. What happened? But at the same time, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I enjoy not wearing makeup. I enjoy my hair in a messy bun. And I enjoy my sweatpants. And so that is who I am. In order to be my authentic self, in order to be real and be me, I have to continue to be that person who goes and does their grocery shopping at Walmart and does not look the best, because that's just who I am.
As opposed to what we see today, what would we see if you were not Mrs. Ohio today? If the sash and the crown were at home?
Well, you'd be looking at me looking pretty much exactly the same.
So this is no different.
Yeah. When I go to work at my job, I usually have my hair done, my makeup done. For me, it's not a part of vanity. It's a part of looking professional and put together. It's just part of my professional appearance, just like putting on a uniform. So I always like to look put together. But, you know, when I'm home, I am that person that's in my sweats or a pair of jeans. And I usually am not wearing makeup and I usually don't have my hair done.
But isn't that the typical?
Yes, it is. Person. And I think it's important to present that. You know, if people see me always put together, always hair and makeup, then that's not real. That's not real life. And I'm representing married women in this state. And so I have to represent every married woman. So that includes the people who don't wear makeup and who don't dress up. And I'm certainly not one of those people that feel comfortable doing that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I always thought it'd be nice to have a is this called a beauty pageant or a scholarship pageant? Because there's no scholarship involved. What do you call it?
It is basically a beauty pageant.
Beauty pageant. Now, what is beauty?
Oh, beauty comes from within, and that sounds so cliche, but it is true. Obviously, it is a pageant, so you do have to have some level of physical beauty as well. But like I said before, interview is 50% of your score. So, you know, evening gown and fitness are 25%. So really, they're judging you on your inner beauty, how you're able to communicate the work that you do in your community. So that's what I feel the beauty is what is coming from inside of you. What are you doing for other people?
Do you like the term beauty pageant?
I find it, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they've been called beauty pageants forever. I think it's how you look at it. You know, if you're one of those people that you're truly concerned about your physical appearance, then yes, that could be a little offensive. But since I know that they're really looking at the total package, I don't find it offensive at all.
Do you think if you looked a different way, you could have been Miss Ohio? Mrs. Ohio.
That's a tough question. You know, I think there's a lot of queens that look different than me. We all have our unique look. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short like me. Some of us are a little more round in certain places. We all have our place and we're all doing amazing work in our communities. So I can't say that if I looked different, I wouldn't have been able to win. Who's to say?
It's an interesting thing because there has been this big debate because I believe most of the younger pageants now are no longer called beauty pageants. They're called scholarship pageants. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that change took place?
I think they didn't want the focus on physical beauty. They really want the focus to be on what that girl has in her head and in her heart.
Do you think that I always thought a neat pageant would be a pageant, you can call it whatever you want, but where you can't wear makeup. These are the qualifications. You can't wear makeup. You can't wear an evening gown. You don't have to be in
almost like a come as you are type.
Come as you are. Yeah. Natural beauty.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Yeah. You should do that. You should
start one.
Well,
wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. You know, they do have pageants like that for younger girls. You know, my daughter is not in pageants, but I've considered putting her in them. There are several pageants for young girls that just help promote, you know, their self-esteem and their confidence, really help them build public speaking skills. And so I've thought about that, putting her in some. And they do have natural pageants where the girls don't wear any makeup. It's not like Toddlers and Tiaras.
That's what I say. Do you think some of these shows like that go overboard? I mean, with these younger, I mean.
It's not something that I believe in. I don't ever want my daughter portrayed in that way. You know, the all the fake hair and the what do they call them, flippers or something, fake teeth and in all the makeup. And I feel like they're too young and they're so beautiful at that age, just in their pure state, that they don't need all of that. So definitely the more natural pageants, you know, is something that if I were going to put my daughter in one, that's what I would do.
Does that go for adults?
You mean the fake hair and the fake
teeth? Yeah. I mean, does it, is it, are you better in your pure state?
So I'm, like I said before, I'm comfortable in this skin that I'm in. I wear makeup and do my hair to perfect my natural state. It's the icing on the cake, I guess.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
No, that's all right.
Now, we're down to about the last minute and a half here. This has been your first interview, you said. Have you enjoyed it?
I have enjoyed it. Great. It's been so fun.
Good. I hope you've enjoyed it. Want to let everybody know our guest today has been Terry Lynn Grothaus. She is Mrs. Ohio. And we do have about a minute and a half left. What have you learned?
From you today?
Well, no, there's nothing here.
Yeah. I've learned all kinds of things.
Oh, boy. Now, what have you learned in general from this experience?
Oh, from this pageant experience?
Yeah.
I've learned that everyone has a story. You know, when you meet these women and even the girls, because the pageant that I was at, you know, it was the Miss, the teens, they all have something that they're passionate about because they all have a story. You know, whether their best friend OD'd on heroin or they have a friend with cancer, everyone's got a background. And it's so interesting to be able to hear those stories. And now as a title holder, I'm able to help these women promote their own platforms as well.
It's been a fascinating 2 hours. I thank you so much for making the trip here. Terry Lynn Grothaus, Mrs. Ohio. You're tuned to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Remember, you can get these shows archived on the internet back until the start of 2016. www.wwgh1071.com. Like us on Facebook, WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM for exclusive content and pictures. And you can download the free TuneIn app, totally free on any mobile device. Listen to the station anytime. It's TuneIn, free app. Get it. You won't want to miss this station. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned for more programming.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place.